Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, people. Welcome back to another episode of Courtside Fracas. Of course, I'm joined by, of course, a couple of regular castmates and someone new in the building today, because, of course, thank you once again. The regular is unavailable in Reams, but it's your boy Killer K. I got my boy Shaq here. How's it going, bro?
What's up? We're good over here, so.
And we got a member of the group chat in the building today. A hooper himself, goes by the name of Chuck. Introduce yourself, my bro.
What's up? Chuck Duru. Like I said, hooper, play for Barnet Bulldogs in the NBL. Used to have my own podcast as well called the ISO Podcast, but I've put it to the side for now. But yeah, happy to be here,
man. And now he's out here contributing to Courtside Fracas. You see, we bring hoopers into the building as well. It's not just nonsense we're spouting here. We've also got our executive producer on the mic, Jordan.
Hi.
Better. We don't need any of that kind of extracurricular.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Before I continue, let me plug the socials, because we are very, very active on there as of late. At Courtside Fracas on Instagram. At Courtside Fracas on the Twitter. At Courtside_Fracas on the TikTok. Keep engaging. We see all the comments. We have plenty of new content coming up. And finally, with the visuals, Courtside Fracas upon the YouTube. So without further ado, as the chief ogre Mariah would say, let's get into it. The pressing discourse at this point in time. The All-Star Reserves.
Boy, you know what? We got a question on TikTok about, was it a snub for De'Aaron Fox to not make the team?
We'll start with Chuck, because we'd like to get a new voice in the building. What do you think about De'Aaron not making the West? And we'll get into the West after that, of course.
You know what? I can't even lie. He's had a hell of a season, but I just think when you look at the guard pool from the West, it's tough. Like, who do you take out?
It's heritage. Always guards in the West. Someone is going to miss out.
Always. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. It's a tough one.
Shaq, how you feel about it?
Well, look, I'm a big De'Aaron Fox fan, but it is a problem of when you look at the Western Conference, who do you take out? You're never taking out Luka.
No.
Never.
But has De'Aaron Fox been better than Steph this season?
That's a tricky one.
Steph's not always been great.
He is, but at the same time, this year, if Steph hasn't done the... Like, he has 60 the other day.
Mm-hmm. If he doesn't, it don't count.
But if he doesn't do what he's been doing this year, the Golden State Warriors are in the bottom three of the West.
Facts.
100%.
So he's given them life.
And this is even a down year for him.
And this is a down year. That's what I'm saying. So
like, are we counting, like, that's the thing that we kind of had last week, where it's like Brunson versus Dame. But is Steph a little bit of a heritage pick? Because if it's the All-Star game, we're looking for the best performer of the season so far. And who's had a better season between De'Aaron and Steph?
Well, De'Aaron's team's doing better. But, I wouldn't say he's necessarily performing, but he's got a better team at this point in time.
And that's because he also has a Sabonis who kept it afloat because of Fox had a little bit of injury. But should De'Aaron Fox be an All-Star?
On what you said, all right, let's look at their teams. You know, for Steph, like I said, Steph's carried them this year. Draymond's been suspended because he can't keep his hands and legs to himself.
Of course.
Klay's been
washed.
I don't want to say, I don't use the W word,
But he's not washed. He's not what he was.
He's not what he was. He's had a down year. Like, he's been very inconsistent. You know, they're starting to get production from Kuminga.
After benching him at the start of the year. You know what I'm saying?
And even Mathurin's been all right.
But
yeah, well.
Yep. But ultimately, like, again, like, Steph's had to do so much. Like, this year, I think he kind of has to be in. And it's Steph Curry, like.
I think the same. Yeah. Not to do that thing.
That's the heritage.
I don't disagree with you.
But it's like,
yeah,
I could say this. Obviously, not to the same exact extreme. I could say the same as a Lakers fan. Like, we stink. Like, not even objectively, we're actually bad. LeBron, obviously, he's 40. I can't expect much from him. But at the same time, I can't say he's been one of the best players in the NBA. Like, he honestly deserves to be an all-star.
But looking at the Lakers, for example, right? Like, you guys stink. But does... I'm sorry.
Okay.
But... do you deserve two all-stars in your team?
Thank you for saying that, because I was just about to post you guys.
I agree, do we?
There's no way in hell Anthony Davis is in there instead of over Sabonis.
No chance.
Exactly.
There's no way in hell.
But it's AD though.
What did we just say? Heritage.
Because he's playing with LeBron and he's been, I say, mostly fit this year and he's playing for the Lakers. That's that clutch sports package, bro. Like, yeah. It gives you that little stimulus.
As we said, the guard pool in the West is crazy because, like, in one team, you have Luka and Kyrie. And the thing is about the All-Star weekend, it was like, then you got SGA as well.
Devin Booker.
There's a lot, right? But it's when you look at the All-Star game, what do you want to see in the game? Because, cool, there's All-Stars like Jokic, right? We said it last week. I think Jokic is the best player in the league at the moment. He's unstoppable. Mm. But he's terrible in All-Star games because he's just an efficient player. Like, he doesn't bring any razzle-dazzle.
A little pass here and there.
Yeah,
you know?
No look.
Do you want a razzle-dazzle player to bring some excitement to a game that could be fun, or do you want I do the fundamentals? And Jokic does the fundamentals so well, but it's like, that's why I would always want a Kyrie. I would always want I would want Zion in the All-Star game event. I would want Wemby to catch an alley-oop from the free throw line for no reason. Yeah. Like, that's what you want for the All-Star game. A lot of people do, but at the same time, it's also, we have our heritage people. Okay. Steph, for example, I want to see 5 half-court shots.
Listen, if that's not an All-Star game...
You know, like, Steph got pull it from 50 as well.
Exactly. Like, it's an All-Star game. I'm not watching. I'm being very honest. I'm trying to see Steph in the game.
So is it a snub for De'Aaron Fox to not be there, or...?
He's going to have to hold that one till next year.
Yeah, I can't lie. Do you know what it is? Yeah, I do sympathise with him, yeah, but... Bro, you got to put your shift in, man. Like,
he ain't been elite long enough yet.
Last
year was his first year of leading the team to the playoffs.
Thank you.
And being at their level. Yeah. And to be fair, putting great performances. But towards the end, it fell off a little bit too, quote unquote, Steph Curry.
So you say you've not been elite. He's not been elite for long enough.
No.
Is De'Aaron Fox an elite guard?
Now he is, yeah.
But that's another conversation. But we'll get into that. But let me run.
I don't hate the take.
He's not all right. I'll say I think he's elite. But there's a tier above elite, which is where Steph, I think Luka.
Does Shai sit there?
Nah, not yet.
That's the question.
He's nearly there. He's nearly there, but he's just not there yet. I think it's that all NBA first team sort of.
All-NBA one and adjacent.
Booker, I put Booker in there as well. Even though I'm not really a big fan of him, but I put him in there.
Donovan Mitchell?
He's got no motion, does he?
Nah.
He's got
Donovan Mitchell. And I love
I think
him.
Donovan Mitchell might be better than Booker.
I've had that debate for three years.
Let me first run through the starters again, just so we're aware of where we are with the West.
Go ahead.
So, of course, we've got Luka and KD. The first two, then we have Shai, LeBron, and Jokic. Of course, LeBron is the captain of that team,
all deservedly. Yeah.
And then for the replacements, I'll say in the order I have here. So first we have Devin Booker, Steph Curry, Anthony Davis, Anthony Edwards, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and Karl Anthony Towns.
Can't lie, man. Sabonis got bumped.
Did
Gobert get bumped?
No.
You're trying to see Gobert in the All-Star game?
It's not even that. Gobert...
Nah, he ain't been an All-Star.
No, but defensively he has, right? And that's the thing. But realistically, if we're looking at both ends of the floor, I would take Sabonis' game over... For me, even Kat. Like, Kat's...
I think Kat? I think Sabonis should be in there.
But the thing is with that...
Kat has a better season than AD.
The thing is with Kat, and this is where I am, is the Minnesota Timberwells...
Number one.
2 All-Stars.
Yeah, they do.
De facto.
They do. Yeah.
And if it wasn't going to be Kat, it was going to be Gobert.
But is it a thing of, it's a small market team?
This
is the Lakers we're talking about.
I just think, again, I think it's either, I think Sabonis is in there.
Okay.
I'm not mad at if you take. Actually, no. You know what? Let me push back. I'd rather you take AD out and put Sabonis in, because you're right. You're right. That. Minnesota, top of the West, they deserve two All Stars.
And Kat's actually been a very big lead of that.
Kat has been good this year. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. So let's run through the teams again. So again, we've got Devin Booker. How we feel about that? Is that a deserved place?
Calm. It's
good.
Cool. Yeah. Steph Curry, of course, we discussed that.
Yeah.
AD, controversial. Anthony Edwards, we discussed him a lot because, of course, normal cast member Reams.
He could have been a starter.
Absolutely.
He could have been a starter instead of who? He could have been. If it's hard, but the person that he is in a season he's having, just in terms of not numbers, but what you're seeing on the court.
He got the motion just
yet. He could have been a star.
He hasn't got the motion, but I think it was close enough. And then we have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Especially with recent, man.
Aren't they number one now?
Yeah.
Instead of, it's not longer Minnesota, they're number one now.
Not mad at them too.
And what they've been putting on the second half, aren't they 27-5 in their last... in the last scheme of games? So again,
legit, there's no one that I would think that could have been in there that isn't in there, besides, I say, maybe De'Aaron Fox, maybe Jamal Murray.
I'm okay
in terms of that, but then,
I like him as well, but
but then what you gotta think is, right, where we saying like Fox got snubbed and like the depth of the West for these guards, like Jamal Murray's injured.
Yeah,
wouldn't have made it this year because of the game selection and time of it. But I'm saying, like, if he had a full healthy year,
you would say that this is another guard to really contest.
That Western Conference is
tired. And the West has always been guard heavy, though. Like, even if you think back, like, people have always been snubbed. Even Dame used to get snubbed back in the day.
Yeah.
So we won't talk about Dame right now because we had enough conversations about him. Move across to the East now. So, of course, the starters we have here are Tyrese Halliburton and Damian Lillard.
We understand that he should not be there, but
he
should not be there.
In fact, let's get your take on it, because again, we discussed this last week, but it's good to hear a new voice about Damian Lillard right now.
No.
On to the next one.
He's an all-star, but a starter?
No chance.
Who would you have put as a starter?
Maxi, definitely, man.
Maxi?
Yeah.
Brunson?
Ooh.
I
think because I like Maxi's game more.
Okay.
Maybe I'm being a bit biased, Brunson, I wouldn't be mad at him either.
Okay.
He's taller.
I know what you mean. I like him.
Yeah, bond the short guards, man.
For me too. And then, of course, to close out, we've got Jason Tatum, Joel Embiid, and Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is, of course, the captain.
Perfectly fine.
Perfect.
Let's get into the replacements. Number one, the first one, the Street Heat evangelist himself, his star player, Bam Adebayo.
Yep.
Again, deserved. Paolo Banchero.
Yeah, perfectly fine.
Was in conversation last year to potentially be an all star, but again, I don't think Orlando were good enough last year. And this year, they're a lot stronger than they were. So, again, they're only eighth, but still, they look a lot better. And, of course, a lot of people more stepping up in that team. And then we also have Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, deserved. Oh, don't do that. We'll get into that. Jalen Brunson.
Yeah.
Fine.
Tyrese Maxey, who, of course, is an injury replacement.
Yeah.
Donovan Mitchell. Julius Randle, who has now been obviously replaced by
Scottie Barnes.
So,
who I think should have been in there instead of Julius Randle in the first place. But
funny you say that, because I was having a conversation about this in another group chat around where we rank Randle, but we'll get into that when we talk about him. So let's run through the replacements first, because of course we've discussed the starters already. Other than Damian Lillard, any other kind of objections to that starting lineup in the East?
Nah, I think they got it right.
Cool. Bam.
What about him?
Cool. No objections?
Of course he's got to be in there. He's...
Do you know what it is? Listen.
This is what I've been waiting for.
I find it a bit, I don't know, man. I like Bam. I think he's good. Like, he's a modern centre. Like, nice, good, complete.
Guards five. Not the best scorer, but again, utility. Swiss Army knife.
Does the dirty
sense.
Work. Like, yeah, like, 100%. Yeah, but... I haven't watched too much of Miami Heat. Are we saying that Jimmy shouldn't be in there?
Jimmy should be in the...
Ahead of Bam?
No. The reason why Jimmy won't this year is because he's not played that many games.
Okay,
he's had quite a bit of time out.
Okay.
Jimmy and Bam should always both be in there. They're two of the best players in the Eastern Conference.
Always both be in there. Depends on how they're performing.
They're two of the best players in the Eastern Conference.
But you lot are seven at the moment, so...
Yeah, again, because we've also had Jimmy out and Tyler Herro out for a fixed amount of time than with the rotation that we've gone with. So
okay, so Bam, not too contentious.
Yeah. Perfectly fine.
Paolo.
Great. Defo.
Great.
Yeah.
He's had a crazy season.
Fantastic. He's cold, man.
It's a very slept on season.
Right, so, just before we get into it after, Paolo or Julius Randle?
Oh, Paolo.
Okay, cool. Just checking. We'll get into it. We'll get into it.
What?
No. I'll tell you why I asked that question when we get to Julius Randle. All right?
Okay.
Jaylen Brown.
So.
Yes.
Oh?
So I think there's a snub in here, and I don't know what it Who? Seems like. I'm an Atlanta Hawks fan, but why does no one talk about Trae Young?
Yeah, Trae Young definitely.
Got like, snubbed. Has Jaylen Brown had a better year than Trae Young realistically this season?
His team They're not the same position though. Is Jaylen Brown in as a guard?
Yeah.
Or is he in as a guard?
He's in as a guard, no?
Oh, listen, I haven't checked. They haven't noted it down here, but they just said he's here as a replacement. I would assume he's in it. So we've got Jaylen Brown, Brunson. They do. How many? Okay, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So we're six each, right? In terms of guards.
I think so, yeah.
So in terms of guards, we have Tyrese Halliburton, Damian Lillard, Jalen Brunson, Tyrese Maxey, Donovan Mitchell. Yeah, Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown's a guard.
Okay.
I don't...
Because really I saw something on Twitter and I couldn't believe it. Like Trae Young's averaged like 28 and 12 for the last three seasons.
Yes.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
not been picked.
Yes.
He has. His team sucks.
But again, man, like...
People will pick on the defensive side of things, but no one asked that with Brunson.
Yeah, man.
And I love Brunson, but it's the smaller guard complex.
He's yeah. Obviously and also, I've got...
a lot more physical than Trae Young is.
Yeah, but
well.
when you've seen Dame play defense...
Listen, I've got to take... I believe defense is overrated in the NBA. They can't guard each other.
They can't.
They
and
can't guard
partly because of the rules.
Partly because of the rules, but partly because they're
that good.
They're just that good. Yeah. Elite so versus elite is a very
elite versus elite.
And that's why now the people that, like we mentioned last week, the people that are getting paid for defense are actually genuinely elite defenders.
Exactly.
But then they're also minimum on offense besides your Kawhi Leonards and things like that.
Or Victor Wembanyama.
And let's see what what's his workload
these days. And Bam Adebayo.
What's Kawhi's workload these days on defense? Even Giannis.
Yeah,
exactly.
These men are free safety roaming kind of defenders.
It's until
the
last few plays that you might need to lock down that superstar. But all game, you're not guarding that superstar.
Game management.
Yeah.
I hear that. But when we look at Trae Young's like game,
I don't really like it.
It's disgustingly great.
It doesn't really move me.
It's disgustingly great.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I get.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And I've been watching him since Oklahoma. Like, I've been a fan of him there. But it was lazy at the time when they were calling it like Steph Curry light.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously, very small guard, also happens to be light skinned.
And
shooting a lot of
threes. And deep threes as well.
I was very deep threes as well.
Yeah.
But now, obviously, ever since the number one villain in New York and Philly era.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, almost 4 years ago now.
Ice Trae again.
I love that.
Which is like 4 years ago now or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
What's happened? Because again, he's getting the numbers and his team hasn't really progressed anywhere. Can we blame the front office? Or can we also say there's obviously been some deficiencies from Trae as well?
Until last season, his second star was John Collins and Clint Capella.
We've seen star players with bad rosters before. This isn't new.
I just think defensively,
he's taken them to the playoffs.
That was
multiple times. He's taken them as a deep run in the playoffs on his own back multiple times.
I'm saying multiple. It was once.
Oh, okay, yeah. Sorry, once.
And once. Then, and that was
as a smaller guard and also averaging 12 and 28, or usually sometimes 25. So if I'm giving you 25 and 10 as a basis. And I'm what, 6'1", 6 foot?
He's 6 foot in heels.
In an Air Force, he might be 6 foot.
Yeah.
So why can I not get my credit?
Do you know what I think it is? I think I don't know what it is about the respect thing with Trae, but for some reason, I think as fantastic as we know he is, he seems to be the one guard where everyone's like, but his flaws are almost too great to ignore, which probably isn't fair.
Mm.
But it's only him, because if you look around the league in terms of star guards and what they do, one, most of them are taller, and two, none of them play defense anyway. But it's still Trae that.
But I think Trae's been a victim of his team's lack of success.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's that, man. I think if they're winning games, Trae's in the All-Star game. I think it's just because his team ain't winning games.
But then with that thing that everyone says with Trae, is like, oh, what have they done in the playoffs and stuff? Trae's got what's Luka done with Dallas?
Hey, they went Western Conference Finals.
Cool, and that's
to the winners.
And that was once.
So Trae's 25 now.
In his this is his fifth season.
Him and Luka were the same draft, so this is his fifth. This is his sixth year now, in fact. And yeah, he's averaging 25.5 for his career, 9.3 assists. I just think, like you said, he must be a victim of his team's lack of success. And again, that we could narrow it down to saying what's going on with the front office, of course, and everything. And his second best player is now DeJounte Murray.
I'm putting Trae Young as a snub for this season. I'm just saying. All-star.
Let me ask you, man, this then. If Trae, let's ignore the injuries, who do you give Trae's spot to? Or who do you give Trae, who does Trae replace if he's an all-star from the jump?
So who was the original guards? Who's the original pick?
So the original picks of the guards were Tyrese and Dame.
And the rest of it?
And the rest of the guards are Jaylen Brown,
mm-hmm.
Jaylen Brunson,
mm-hmm.
Tyrese Maxey, Donovan Mitchell. He's not raising any of them.
I'm
taking out two.
I get it.
I do not mind taking out Tyrese Maxey. I do not mind taking out Jalen Brown.
Hell no.
I don't mind doing it.
Hell no.
I might be caping for the guy, but I'm just saying.
Listen, you got to reward success.
Yeah, no. Why? And he's been, when Joel Embiid's been injured, he's been cooking.
He's been putting up numbers.
When Joel Embiid's been injured, and when Joel Embiid is there,
he's cooking too.
He's doing good at times. No. He's had some real off nights. I'm just saying.
Tyrese Maxey, what's he, 20? He's having a career year, like. 25, 26 a game.
I'll check that right.
And his team's top three in the East, no?
Yeah. And it's not because of him.
They've been winning games.
MVP on
yes,
team.
And they're winning games when Joel Embiid doesn't play. He's out for 4 weeks.
I hate that. 45 games so far, is averaging 25.9 points a game, bro.
Okay.
Three and a half rebounds and 6.4 assists. And you're winning. Okay. I don't care what Trey's doing.
When Joel's not there, he's winning them games.
Yes, sometimes.
That's where, for me, that's the qualifier. That's where he gets in.
You've got to remember, that's
a reward winning.
If you take out Joel Embiid out of that team is still better than the Atlanta Hawks.
No. Not across our 82-game season, no way.
Just if you look at the players that are available, bro.
No.
I actually don't think they are.
Nah.
Tobias Harris is games, well paid, but I don't.
Cool, DeJounte Murray's decent as well, like, calm, and then what? Bogdanovic, who.
Let's run through Philly's roster then. Like,
go on.
Like, bro, like, I don't think you're realizing what Philly have got going on at the moment outside Joel Embiid and Maxey.
Their third best player is Clint Capela.
No. They've got, what's his name? That starts at the.
What, two?
No. That starts at the four. Who's there?
Hunter.
Who's there? DeAndre Hunter, is he still there?
Yeah,
DeAndre Hunter.
Yeah,
I say he's probably
you got
better.
KJ Martin, one of the Morrises, Melton, again.
Yeah,
Tobias Harris, Rookie Council the fifth, Patrick Beverley.
He's been playing well.
He has been playing well.
Beverley's been playing well. Yeah,
Covington, cutting Nick Batum, Reed. Like, this team isn't what you think it is, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I'm telling you right now, it might have some like wily players. But this team really isn't what you think it is and what they're doing.
I also think that Nick Nurse is a great coach, and I think he's got a lot out of his roster this year.
And he did while he was at the Raptors as well. Like, this is what Nick Nurse does.
Yeah.
Like, besides Jalen Johnson having a good season this season, and then, like, you still got your Okongrues, there's, as we said, Hunter, Capela.
Also, Philly's team is slightly older. They've been to some of the
it's experience between it. There's a lot of younger players around Atlanta as well. Like, I'm just saying, in it, like, I think Trae Young's a snub, but
he's
we
not.
Can move on from that. He
can't be a snub. You can't not reward winning. You can't average almost 26 points for one of the best teams in the East and not make the All-Star.
Yeah. I just can't. There's no one I'm taking out instead of him, so that's why I can't say he's
even
a snub.
Dame.
Yeah.
That one.
Dame, I don't know if he should start, but
he's definitely an all-star. And 1,000%. I can still say, has he been better than Trae Young? I think it's a pick 'em. But again, one's playing for a winning team and has also been an effect in winning those games.
Mm.
And then, of course, probably talked about Banchero, Brunson, New York star, Jalen Maxey, Donovan Mitchell. Again, he started last year, he's not starting this year. He's actually having a career year this year. But also,
I think he could have been a starter for the guards. As well, over Dame.
Second right now.
Over Dame, I think it was between, as we said last week, I think if you let Donovan Mitchell be a starter or you let Jalen Brunson be a starter, I'm happy with either one. Like, I don't think it's a problem with either, but at the same time, it's a snub because neither of them are. Like, that's just
and
where it
finally,
is.
And finally, a man who splits opinion, and also why I asked the question about Paolo earlier, Julius Randle. He is a victim of his shortcomings in the playoffs and his own Bozo, and it's very hard to forget Bozo, unfortunately, in the NBA. Fair. No matter how good you've been over long stretches of time, and while we all agree here where it matters most is the playoffs, that's a microcosm of your career. Even though it matters a lot, we still see a lot of these guys for like 82 games a season, so we know what they're capable of. Again, pressure can get to them, of course, but we've seen Julius Randle be superb for a lot of the season, and when it came to the playoffs, again, he has been prone to shit. It's not working. Let me just shoot it. But now, ever since the OG trade, his game's not transformed, but he's a lot more measured. But still, to this day, people don't really respect like what he's doing, because I was having a debate earlier and there were four players mentioned. And where do we rank them? And we can do that right now. Wow. So we've got Julius Randle, Scottie Barnes, Paolo Banchero, and Kristaps Porzingis.
What? Yo, the last one threw me. I'll give you to the last one.
I don't know why Chris was there. Because again, Scotty can play the four. He doesn't do it often, but he can.
Yeah.
But that's why they're obviously named in terms of like the three to fours in their team. And those men all play that position. So, of course, Scotty's the shortest, but he's been known to play that a tiny bit.
Okay.
So are we doing if you would take them as an organization or who's the better player right now? From the four. For the younger players.
From the four right now, who is the best player?
Banquero.
I think it's Banquero or Randall.
I think Randall's last of the four, I'm not gonna lie.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not a fan of Randall, man. I feel like Randall don't have a motor. And I feel like Randall should never have been the focal point of any franchise. I don't think he's got that. But I don't think he's that guy.
We got Jalen Brunson, who has been the focal point last year and this year.
And he's got a motor.
But he had to take the focal point.
That's fine.
He had to step up and do it. He should have just been it anyway.
He found Randall's role. And I don't think he diminished what Randall does, you know. I don't think he gets his respect because of the amount of bozo he has displayed in small moments.
Because realistically, how many star players in the league or leaders of the franchises display the amount of bozo that he displays?
I can't lie.
As I said, if Randall is hot and scores five buckets in a row, I fear what the sixth shot is going to look like. it's inefficient, and that's the problem with him. I would take him over Kristaps Porzingis.
Facts.
But
Chris has found his role. He was very good at Washington last year. He's found his role at Boston because he's maybe the fourth option there, by the way. Because it works for him. And he's finally realized I'm actually 7'3". Maybe I should rebound and I'm good at this.
And he still barely does.
And he can also get a bucket of course as well. And he can shoot. But that fits him. I'm saying how far did Boston go is not dependent. I don't think it's that dependent on Kristaps.
I think he's a big part, man.
I think he's going to be
a massive part because what he gives you is number one, he's a 7-footer that can stretch the floor legitimately. Yep. Number two, defensively, he's 7'3", he's a long 7'3".
The reason I say that,
and he protects the room quite well this year, especially as well.
Is because of the makeup of these lots' teams.
Yes.
In comparison. Randall means more to the Knicks than Kristaps, I think.
Yeah, because he's the second option.
If I'm being honest, I don't think Dinobiche is going to... New York are still going out in the second round. They're not going any further than the second round.
You don't think? Really?
I think
the OG trade has changed a lot.
No, I don't think it has. Why I say the Porzingis trade, because it now gives Boston a third option who legitimately can go for 30 and 10 on a good night. No problem. And there's less pressure on him. Like, I think this is the match made in heaven for them.
And then what you have, again, like, in the Boston DNA is Tatum's got the ball. That's your first option. Can't find my shot. Okay, Jaylen Brown. Can't find my shot because they put me to my left hand. Okay, cool. Now I can pass it. Kristaps, I might be able to find my shot.
Yeah.
And you can't not guard Tatum. You can't not guard Jaylen Brown. So you have to guard them too. I'm getting your third best defender. So it's like, in things like that.
Derek White, so they've got a very strong team.
They have a strong team around that. And I think losing Kristaps might not be the biggest DNA to it, but it helps them so much with what they're doing. The way that they're going to want to dominate teams in that 7-game series, Kristaps will be a very key part to it. Julius Randle will be a very key part to New York, but he's also going to be the reason they fail.
I don't believe so.
And also, you got to remember, when you're now facing Boston, you've now got another center that the opposing center has to guard on the perimeter. That creates so much space in the middle of the floor.
And if you do Al Horford as well.
You can play him at the four and put Horford at the five. Now you've got two legit 7-footers that can stretch the floor, that can defend. Like, they're going to be a nightmare in the playoffs, man.
But
they're my pick for the East.
I would say this. If you put Randall in the Celtics and Porzingis in the Knicks.
Porzingis on the Knicks, bro.
No.
I've seen it.
I'm saying in this Knicks right now, like, that's there. I'm saying... I don't think it might make the Celtics even stronger because Randall can stretch the floor and he can still score for 30 if he needs to as well.
I think it makes them worse.
I think
Julius Randle and Jason Tatum, there's only one basketball, man. Like, I feel like...
But the thing is, you're saying...
I don't think that works, man.
Jalen Brunson dominates the board now, as is, and he's going to be facing most of the doubles and the coverage if that.
Yeah.
And Randall's really benefited off that.
But he's the point guard. You've now got... If you put Julius Randle on the Celtics... Where does he play? Does he play the four?
The four.
He plays the four. So you've now got Tatum at the three,
mm-hmm.
Jalen Brown at two. You got what? Derek White coming off the bench.
No, yeah. on the one. Drew Holiday. Yeah, my bad. I keep forgetting. I forget about Drew Holiday. Yeah, Drew Holiday is the one.
Yeah. See, I don't think that works. I just think Randall is one of those guys where he's not good off the ball. He's a horrible off the ball player. Like, he needs the ball in his hands. You've already got Tatum, who does that better than he does.
I don't deny that, but what I'm saying is I don't think it makes them significantly worse, which is why I don't think Randle's a worse player. In the rankings that you gave...
Styles make fights, as they say.
In the rankings you gave, I would, I would go Banchero, Scottie Barnes, Julius Randle, Porzingis.
And again, Stripes, I'm sorry. As good as Scottie Barnes is now, like I said, while we've seen the lows of Julius Randle, the highs are still more and are still present to what I've seen for Scottie Barnes. And again, that might not be the case next year or by the end of the season because these rankings are fluid. But for right now, I think Randle's probably that second best player. And then, but these things can change. These things can change in like 2-3 weeks because again, we see basketball for what it is and rankings aren't, they're not cemented.
The reason I put Scottie Barnes there is because in the last season and a half of what we've seen, you've seen him taking the ball and saying, I actually am him to an extent. And that's the reason why they said, oh, you know what? We looked at Siakam, we can actually trade you because we're gonna play around you. And I think if you've been able to take the helm from something and from someone, I have no flaws. I see no problem in your game. Watching Scottie Barnes play, he playmakes, he defends, and he actually puts the ball on the floor quite well. And he scores quite efficiently too. So I would take him in a team over Julius Randle, me personally.
If it's fit, okay, that's understandable.
Like, I would rather build a team around him and I'd rather have him as a role player in a team.
Yeah.
So both things that you could really do in a team, I would rather have him than Julius Randle. So I think he's better.
I think it's this comparison's tough, yeah, because I feel like they're all at different stages of their career.
Exactly.
So like, for example,
second year rookie.
Yeah.
Scottie Barnes in his third year now.
Yep.
Yeah.
We've got Chris Stapps, who's a 10-year veteran.
Yeah.
And Randle is also 29 and almost a 10-year veteran.
Exactly.
So eight years in the league now.
Around 8 years.
Yeah. You've kind of got guys who are, like, for example, Porzingis, we've seen what he looks like as a number one option.
And he's not that. Yeah.
We've seen
him on a lottery team at Washington. We've seen him at Dallas on another big contract. As yourself a Dallas fan, you've seen him there. And what was that like for you?
I mean, I thought he was a good fit. I think him and Luka needed more time.
Okay.
But I think I saw in an interview, I think he said himself that he didn't really buy in. So, but I think, as I said, I think the Celtics is, I think he's a good third option for a championship team. I don't think he's a second option on a championship team.
Okay.
I don't think Julius Randle is a...
I think he could be a strong player on a very good team.
Yeah. I think Randle is best suited, at max, a third option in a championship team.
That's fine by me.
Yeah. And also, Scottie Barnes, I think, is early. I don't know how good he really is.
Or, yeah.
Like, it's still early in his career, so... Paolo, I'm gonna put him number one. I got stocks there, man, too. But yeah, Paolo, I think Paolo definitely has the highest upside.
Yes,
for
sure.
Like, he is unreal, like, already. Mm. So I'm definitely gonna put him at number one. I think Julius Randle has proved that he's good, but he's not great.
That's fine, you know what I'm saying? He's good but not great.
Mm.
Let's move on to the next part, which is obviously rampant in the NBA right now. Injuries. So Joel Embiid will not be the MVP this year, no matter what, just due to the fact that he has what they called a flap in his meniscus, which means it's torn. I don't know why they said flap to make it sound more appealable to fans. As someone who's torn his, it's torn. So he's not going to be playing. He's not going to be in the All-Star game, nor will he be MVP. Eligible for all NBA or MVP because of the amount of games that he's missed. We discussed this a bit last week, but it's good to obviously get a new perspective on this. How do you feel about like the 65-game mark for All-NBA, MVP, and also that extra 40-odd million that people would be due if they were to sign their Supermax as a lottery rookie?
I like it. I can't lie. I like it. And I like it because it's putting pressure on players, and this sounds going to sound mad, but it's putting pressure on players to sort of earn their money in a bit. And I think we'll get into a stage where like guys are taking nights off every week, every other game, like the rest thing was getting a bit out of hand.
It was getting a bit out of hand. They started finding teams.
You know, maybe 65 games is a bit, I don't think that's a crazy amount. It's
65 out of 80. 18,
17 it's, games you miss, isn't it?
Yeah. 80% of the season.
Yeah.
And so, as we said last week, is imagine if your employee said, can you come to work for 80% of your shifts?
Yeah.
What's the problem?
And my mind changes on this, but I agree with Chuck when he says like these guys earn their money, because funny enough, I don't even like quoting him, but Michael Jordan was saying like back in my day, because obviously now we get the rookies, they don't have to do that much or they have to look good enough and then they get that supermax.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Jordan said, like, back in my day, you had to earn your money. Mm. It's the same in the NFL and other leagues. you have to produce a lot more to earn that money in a space of time. Whereas they say, hey, you've done this or you're good enough for our team, we want to keep you. Because of the way the CBA is set up, here's 150 million, here's 200 million. Mm. And again, I'm not mad at these young kids for getting their money, but I do think the onus has changed in the NBA. They're more or less paying for potential rather than they're paying for production. And you only get production from these young boys, I believe, in their second or third contracts, not their Supermax contracts. So not the second contract, sorry, the Supermax, the third contract, when you actually know what they are.
So my thing is, like I said, I don't mind your employer telling you to come to work for 80% of your jobs, but there's got to be some understanding behind things as well. If I was told by my employer, come to work for 80% of your shifts, sorry, I got hit by a car, I came to work for 75%, yeah, you didn't meet the threshold. There's genuine reason behind certain things. For example, Embiid had a lot of, already in the season, missed things, left wrist soreness after you dropped 70 and things like that. And
because those free throws.
It can be genuine. Like, I'm not denying that, but if you like left wrist soreness and then migraine, then just registered illness because you had a cold or something, like all those little missed ones there can be irritating.
Also, it's 20 then, minutes of games.
And you got to play 20 minutes as well. But then
four teams will soon start taking the piss off, by the way.
But then for a Tyrese Haliburton, for example, who's going to miss out on 41 M's if he doesn't play 20 minutes for, I think he can miss 5 more games. He pulled his hamstring. Like, you have to understand, like, if it's sore or something, like, you saw him slip on the court and do a split because the court was wet and wasn't dried off or whatever. What can you do about
it? Depends on the grading of the injuries, because again, like you said, there's little niggles, of course, and then there's obviously long-term injuries, but that's something they're going to have to decide for themselves. But as a core of, like, listen, you have to earn your money and play most of the games, I think that's quite fair. Obviously, we'll keep using the example of the NFL, of course, but they play 18 games in a season, if you're only playing 9 games, you can't be the MVP, bro.
No.
Like, and it's not possible.
It's also unfair for the guys who do play 82 games.
Exactly.
It's like, if I'm in the NBA and I'm playing 82 games, I'm, you know, obviously you have, there's an element of luck in it, of not getting injured and stuff, but it's kind of unfair to, like, let a man win the MVP that's played 60.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a bit...
And even then, those 60 better have been crazy.
Crazy because 60. Yeah, man.
No, they must have been... You played 60, your team was the first seed. You didn't play the next 22, your team is the fourth. Is the sixth seed.
Yeah.
It has to be that kind of business because, again, that's where it is for me personally. Mm. On to the next bit. Again, I don't know much about this topic, so I'm going to leave this to you guys. Austin Rivers versus Jeff. Talk to us. All right, Chuck, what's happened with this situation?
Do you want to go?
No, I was just...
You can explain the situation.
Yeah, so obviously the conversation was about Bronny. I think Austin Rivers said something along the lines of he doesn't want Bronny to get drafted.
To play with his dad.
Dad, because obviously from his own experience, they'll sort of hold him to a standard that maybe he can't reach, or he'll get treated a certain way, which I think was a fair comment.
I love the comment.
Yeah, I agreed with him as well.
I don't know about you, man. I'm not sure if you know as well, but back in the day when I saw Austin Rivers at Duke coming into the league, I thought he was the man, bro.
Yo,
He dropped that game. He got the game beat on North Carolina.
He was
the mixtapes. I thought Austin Rivers, like, he's coming into the league to take over.
Austin Rivers in Duke is one of the best rookie seasons. Sorry, one of the best college seasons you'll be seeing. Like, before they come to the league. That anticipation that he had coming to the league was crazy.
Yeah.
And then you got to remember...
School, obviously, he was around the NBA a lot. And again, obviously, going to Duke. And he was their star player at the time. Great game. I think he averaged like 14 or 15. Which back then...
In college, that's a lot. Duke as well. That's a lot. Yeah, man.
You were the man then. Mm. Obviously, I think he was 14th pick in the draft. I can't remember. It was mid-lottery. Yeah, or 10th even, sorry. He was like 10th. He was a lottery pick. And obviously, he's had a very good career in his own right.
Like, before he went to the NBA, I think the year before that, he was the number one player in America.
Yeah.
Like, he was the man in college. Like, there's no...
So he's been... And Bronny's not that.
Yeah.
With all due respect.
Yeah.
He's had his own personal, like, health stuff as well.
And that's the other point behind it.
He's never had that kind of regard.
Yeah.
So I get what Austin Rivers is saying, to be fair.
So then to continue the story...
Yeah. So Steven Jackson was basically saying, like, you ain't Bronny, like, you're a scrub, like, just kind of just...
Yeah, I think he's saying, like, Bronny's good. The difference is you're a scrub,
Your dad's not LeBron James.
Yeah, your dad's not LeBron. Yeah, yeah. He's Doc Rivers. You're bum, Bronny. No, you're bum, but Bronny's not. He's actually good.
Yeah.
But like,
which I found crazy.
Doc Rivers was better than.
That's what I'm saying. It's like when you compare Austin Rivers before he went to the NBA to Bronny. Like
night and day.
Like this guy, like you said, was the best player in the country. He wasn't a five star.
He's not five star. He's never been the best, regarded as the best player in America.
Like,
Austin Rivers in college was phenomenal. Like, I think the only college season that I love, like, definitely love watching more is John Wall's, because John Wall was just a freak of nature as well.
I like Kyrie's 11 games.
Oh, yeah, Kyrie's was stupid. Yeah. But it's hard. Good
11 games still.
Good 11 games. Do you have another season that lights?
But again, look at the plethora of names that we're using around that.
Yeah.
Like, Kyrie's, the John Wall's, like, Austin Rivers was him.
Yeah.
Bronny's not been him. Bronny's him because he's LeBron James's son.
Don't get me wrong, he obviously has talent. And again, he's not as highly regarded, but most analysts believe that he'll probably end up being a decent NBA player. But he doesn't have the same. Most of the hype is around the fact that he ended up going to college. His dad is LeBron James, which is, again, not his own fault. You can't pick your parents. So for me, yeah, man, I think now obviously hearing what you guys are saying, Steve Jackson kind of crazy for that, because one, Austin Rivers is better than he's ever been.
But Steven Jackson just don't like Austin Rivers.
That's not a him problem. But
so like he come out and said, I just don't like Austin Rivers. And you don't like his dad either.
But that's fair enough. You don't like him, but don't lie. Don't diminish what man was. Especially when you're comparing Bronny James to When I think of Austin Rivers, I remember the mixtape when he says, I'm going to go off.
I'm going to go off.
Like, no, come on, man. Don't disrespect
Austin
him like
Rivers
that,
has
man.
Put it on NBA players when he was still in high school. Ask Kevin Garnett about him, bro.
Bro, and I think it's one of the ones where Steven Jackson is letting his emotion get before his opinion. So it's just like, bro, let it live. Austin Rivers was the man in college. We're not denying that. Bronny James, I hope you do have a bright future and I hope you are great. One thing I will say is that he's not expected to go top 10 in the draft if necessary. But
he's staying in school.
Yo, let's keep it a buck here. If Bronny James was not LeBron James's son, he would not be on the draft board. Best player in his high school team, Amari Bailey.
Yep.
Did he get drafted? I think I don't think he got drafted.
No.
He's barely playing in the NBA right now.
Yeah.
And he was the best player on their high school team. Like, I don't want to sound like a Bronny hater because I like how he plays. I seen him play when he came here. I think he's good.
He's on the Hornets on a two-way. He was a second round 41st pick.
That's what I'm saying. So like, Bronny's averaging, I think, 5 points a game at USC. So his team sucks.
Second round
41st. Well.
Yeah. That's funny. I think Steven Jackson was second round 42nd.
Of course, like, I get like, Bronny's obviously had his heart issue and whatnot, and it's great to see him back playing. But even then, he wasn't like highly regarded. The hype was the fact that he was LeBron James' son. Where's he going to school? Because LeBron didn't. And
he goes to USC, which is down the road from the Lakers.
And they suck this year. They're 3-8 in this season.
He's had some nice highlights in short spaces of time. Yeah. But if I'm being honest, and if he's advised well, and again, we'll see how he recovers from his heart. He's like a 3-year college player, bro. Maybe four.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure.
He's
what
definitely
the job
not a one
be.
And done, man.
He's definitely not a one and done.
And that's
also,
okay.
He's undersized.
And that's okay.
And if he is a one and done, that is nepotism.
he's undersized as well.
Yeah.
He's like, what, 6?
No. He's like 6'3".
If that.
For a point guard. Yeah, he's...
And again, point guard, he's a utility player in that sense.
Hmm.
But off Bronny James now, obviously Chuck is a member of our group chat and also Poots himself, also British as well, like ourselves. I want to talk about Brits in the NBA. Obviously, very quickly before we jump onto the listeners' questions, a Brit has recently just made it off the G League. I can't remember how to pronounce his surname, but Tosan.
I can't lie, I can't remember. So it's like, I think it's Evoboman.
Yeah, he's also Nigerian, but different tribe. Let me see if I can write it down.
How about this? He should message us.
Evoboman. Yeah, wow. I'm not going to pronounce that one. But yeah, Tosan, he's currently on the Memphis Grizzlies. Obviously, he went undrafted at Princeton. Mm-hmm. I thought he was going to get drafted personally just because of the late noise that came from, obviously, his season. He was on some boards. But now, obviously, had a good time in the G League, drafted the Grizzlies, who are in dire straits. Talk to me about, obviously, Brits and, obviously, the disparity between, like, the NBA, because we have Sohan, which is half of a Brit, because he's technically Turkish. Not Turkish, Polish, sorry. But
yeah.
There's obviously a disparity in that.
Yeah, no, I think, obviously, you know, shout out to Tosan, you know, Newcastle guy. Actually played against him before he went to Princeton in the NBL. Could tell that he was, you know, he was a guy who grew up as a center. And, you know, shout out to my old coach, Ian, who used to coach him. You know, they turned him into like a point forward before he left. Then you could see, like, at Princeton, he kind of was a do-it-all. He could do everything, which kind of makes sense why he got drafted and why he got picked up, you know, why he was so successful at Princeton. But yeah, nice. Good to see, you know, a Brit in the NBA. I think it does wonders for the game here. It does wonders, you know, to inspire kids to, you know, where they can go to with basketball. We don't usually have a lot of examples. But yeah, nice. Good. It's good seeing him on the roster. I think he had like, you know, 3 points and 12 rebounds the other night, which is a weird stat.
Do your thing, man.
Rebounds
8 minutes, bro.
Yeah, so, like,
Boardman gets paid.
But yeah, nice. Good. It's good to see him. Obviously, you know, Jeremy's there. You know, if he's British or not, it's top of another conversation. But you know, he's someone else that came through the British ranks. You know, it's just good to see like these guys, you know, who are from, you know, who've grown up here, who've played here, like thousands of kids that play National League here. They're one of them that have gone on to do successful things.
I think it's one of them ones where with UK basketball, right? You're not going to have a star straight away. It's not like perfect like that. So this is a stepping stone. We've got players that can get into the league at the very least. It's very tough that it's been years since we've seen this.
Yeah.
So now we can see that through the ranks and through training here, you can get to that kind of level as well. Yeah. And now it's just about,
I think we're one generation away from not there being like an explosion of Brits, but definitely being a lot more, because one, cool, it's the second most played sport in school, which is the first thing. Not getting as much funding as it should, but we see guys with like Hoops Fix, shout out the guy who runs that, Sam. We're seeing a lot of the youth, again, they're not all going to A-list, A-grade, D1 colleges, but there's a lot of British kids in the system at the moment. Someone like Cam Hildreth Wake Forest.
Doing his thing as well.
Again, yeah. Not sure what his ceiling is, but again, there's definitely going to be eyes on him because he's playing for a mid-major.
He's a big time. He's a high major. Wake Forest.
Wake Forest high major. Chris Paul, alumnus there. So yeah, I think he's of that generation, and obviously probably after Cam as well, we'll start seeing more kids going over to those high majors like that. Because before Cam, I can't really think of many other British kids that were at high majors like that.
Yeah, I think before Cam, there were a couple, but the last one I think
who was at Oregon? What was his name?
Oh, Cavell.
Cavell.
My guy, man. Yeah, shout him out, man. Yeah, he made the New Orleans Pelicans roster. But yeah, before Cam, I think the last person that was like high major making noise was probably my guy, Matthew Bryan and Manning, Washington.
Wow. Uh-huh. Shout NBA, okay.
Yeah, NBA. I think he was the last one that was really making noise.
Played with IT as well.
Yeah, on the team with Isaiah Thomas. I think Terrence Ross was on that team. Yep. Abdul Gaddy, they had a few NBA guys. But yeah, man, it's good to see, you know, guys going over there, because it's tough, man. The talent level between like here and there is massive.
It's crazy. I don't know what they eat, but they're just, and we have athletes here, but what they have over there, it's not the same.
I think a lot of our best athletes, as in like natural athletes, don't play basketball.
Yeah. Same with Americans. Yeah, it's football and rugby. Athletes don't play football or soccer, as they call it.
They play basketball or American football.
It's football and rugby over here that they get. If you're athletic, like if you're big and powerful, like, go to rugby.
Yeah.
Like, that's how they see it. But if you can actually refine that athleticism into technique around basketball, you could be a unit.
Which is something I think France does very well.
Very well. France is also a small country. We're not similar infrastructure to ourselves.
Yeah. But I think their love for basketball is a lot more than what it is in this country. I think the focus is so heavy on football.
Yeah.
Like, for example, one of my biggest debates I've had about this country and basketball is, like, name me 5 good courts that you can go to in London. I just want to get 5 high standard, no dead zones, it's terrible here, bro.
Last legs, as we saw,
like, bro, the Regal's on its last legs and they just refurbished it. Like, it's things like that where this country doesn't focus on it too much. I think bit by bit it's getting better, but
I think it's a grassroots thing, and I think access at the grassroots is gonna be everything, because there's grass everywhere.
In Spain, Italy, a lot of European countries, they love basketball a lot more than this country, or put more into it. So it's a thing we need to challenge.
But, yeah, I think so. But I think with France is an interesting one because, you know, they're a big football country as well.
Yeah, weirdly enough.
Yeah, big rugby country. But I think the difference with France is France has figured out how to develop their athletes. So they get kids young. They've also got a strong domestic league as well.
Yep, very strong.
Victor played in it last year.
Yep.
And now they're at a point where they've figured something out over there where they can turn these. I think they've got like six guys in the mock draft next year. I think Alex Saar is to go number one. He's French.
I thought he was number two.
Or number two. Yeah, he's in the top,
and
top three.
And
there's
a history of French players in the league as well.
Yeah, France is going to get to a point where they're going to have an Olympic or an international roster of 12 NBA players.
Cold.
And the only other team that does that is America.
Facts.
Like Canada doesn't even do that.
Even Spain, like, again, Spain, they play doesn't their own do country. That.
Yeah.
They prefer to play in their own country. But yes, Canada's getting close to that.
They're getting close, yeah.
But that's because, again, they just happen to kids who happen to remember they're Canadian and they just happen to play in America as well. Yes. But there's always that one guy you think, isn't he American? Like, no, he's Canadian. Like Shea.
Yeah, Shea or Dylan Brooks.
You're like, what? It's guys like that. But no, that's obviously really good insight. We'd love to get obviously more British basketball news on here to talk about that. But with that, I want to jump onto some listeners' questions and close out the pod with that. So we have a couple questions. So the first one from the pod's favourite hater, Lacastina. Yeah, not a hater of the pod, but a hater.
So I guarantee this question is probably going to be in the form of a question with pure hate underneath.
That's my favourite kind of question.
The best kind of questions.
Because I either agree or I'll strongly disagree.
I think you'll like this one.
Go on.
There's the second part to it. There's a question, but then also a statement after it.
Of course. As I said, yeah.
Does Dame have an overrated career? Besides two game winners in the playoffs and a rookie of the year, he's done fuck all.
can I go first?
Yo,
bro. Right.
Can I say, yeah? I like Dame Lillard. You know what I mean? Good player. Does his thing.
He's going to be favorite.
Should never have been in the top 75.
Facts.
Should never have been in the top 75.
For that
reason, I don't think his career warrants a top 75.
Let's talk through it quickly. Eight-time All-Star. He is seven times All-NBA, once first team, four second team, two third team. Rookie of the Year, All-Rookie first team, NBA teammate, whatever that is. NBA three-point contest champion. And that's it. Is that good for? But I think the thing is with basketball, we have a real laissez-faire kind of Hall of Fame. It's kind of like if you're good enough, you're in, buddy.
I can't lie to you. Some of them Hall of Famers can't even dribble with two hands.
This is why the barriers to entry for the Hall of Fame are quite low in basketball.
Yeah.
So he's a Hall of Famer.
He's a Hall of Famer, and that top 75 list is.
But
the 75.
The 75. When I said I don't think, because again, one thing with me is if I say someone shouldn't be in there, I'll have somebody else who should be in there. To me, if I'm putting Dwight Howard's career next to Dame Lillard's career,
facts,
there's an argument to be made Dwight Howard's career was better.
Dwight Howard should have been in.
In my opinion, should have been in there instead of Dame Lillard.
Fair.
Should have been there instead of Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Listen,
I'm not a hater of Dame Lillard, besides the fact that he didn't come to my team, but I blame your agent for that, so it's okay. I think, I don't know what his career is rated at to call it an overrated career. I think as a player of basketball, talent, skill, and everything that he's put on the court, he's a top 75 player.
He's the best small college player ever. If that's an accolade.
Ooh, we might have to do some digging for that.
Well, that's some digging, but
that's a big statement.
Where came from? Like Weber State.
Kawhi Leonard came from San Diego State.
San Diego, okay, fair.
True. And there's no way.
That's
a big statement.
My thing with Dame, when we look at his career, you got to remember that he's gone to the Trailblazers. They had LaMarcus Aldridge, they had Rudy Gay, then Rudy Gay left, and then LaMarcus Aldridge left, so they left him with nothing. The organization never done anything around him. Like, giving him CJ McCollum was cool, but then after that, they just got worse and worse and worse and worse. And even this year, giving Jerami Grant 160 M's was crazy. If you think I'm staying for that, you are insane. So when you look at his
that
career,
franchise has no luck.
No, but when you look at his career and what he done, it's like, how can we really say this about him? Because he's only gone to so far in the playoffs, but why does that make your career suck? In a regular season, he's been great for a long time. He's a deserved All-Star. He's one of the best shooters we've ever seen. Like, he's a great player.
Can I ask you guys a question? Because this was in my group chat a couple of months ago. So he famously said to Paul George that he was running from the grind when he went to, where did he go? He went to the Clippers.
The Clippers. Mm-hmm.
Did Dame Lillard run from the grind?
Yes.
Did I go into the Bucks?
No. No,
it's fine. But he's given enough.
I think he slightly owes Paul George an apology.
No, no, wait. Difference. Paul George requested to go there.
No, he didn't.
Paul George didn't end up in the Clippers.
No, no, they said they were going to trade him. Okay, they said they were going to trade him. He was like, yo, bro, if you're going to get rid of me, I prefer to go here.
Yeah.
So he didn't choose to.
Dame asked to go Miami and end up in Milwaukee, bro. Out of spite.
But either way, he ran from the grind, though.
Going Miami's not running from the grind.
Nah, he ran from the grind.
And he's done the grind since he started.
He shot himself in the foot with saying running from the grind. You know why?
Dame done because the grind
he should have left like 3 years ago.
Yeah,
but he was doing the thing of every summer, he was like, nah, I'm staying. I don't know. Obviously, the team this, the team that. Every year, he was throwing subliminals. So he is definitely running from the grind.
I think he 10 toes from the grind, man. Personally,
bro, he's probably done the most grind in the league.
Yeah, but he kept
and then he ran from it in the end.
Yeah, he kept saying, "Oh shit, I don't know. Maybe I'm gonna stay.
I think what he might have done, which I think I respect Paul George a lot for saying and coming out, which is one thing I've begged NBA players to do for a long time, is say maybe I can't be the best player in the team. Maybe he needed to be the Robin to someone's Batman.
Maybe he needed to run from the grind.
No, but the grind isn't being number one in a trash-ass place like that. That's like...
He ran from the grind.
Nah, man. I'm not saying
and the thing is, you know what I say he ran from the grind? Because one, he said someone else running from the grind.
Yeah.
And then he said, maybe I'm staying, maybe I'm going, was flirting with leaving 2 years in a row. And then finally didn't say anything, but then everybody knew he weren't.
Bro, he ran from the grind and then ran from his wife. Run.
Nah, but you gotta remember though. Listen, he's also going through some things.
He's going through some things.
But run, brother, run.
A couple other questions. Hold on. Let me just run through those very quickly. Ranch Dingus. Shout out Ranch Dingus from Pit Stop Fracas. What's your pick for this team is not good, but they're in the playoffs for this season? The Bucks.
This team is not good,
but they're in the playoffs. Ooh, like, you're shading it real.
I need to think about that one.
Does the play-ins count?
Come on then.
Okay.
This team is not good.
Let's go first day, because playing, you can get anybody in there.
Okay, for me, it's the Milwaukee Bucks. They stink if it's not Giannis.
Like, they're the fakest 33-18 team ever. Bro, it don't make sense.
Nah, I mean, they've kept their core. Like, they've still got Bobby Portis. They've still got Chris Middleton. They've still got pieces.
Chris Middleton not been what he was.
Hey, Chris Middleton might
have to get... And I blame Dame for that. I don't think they're a good fit. I think
he has the ball in his hands all the time.
Exactly.
And Chris Middleton used to be the closer.
Exactly. I think Drew worked because Drew doesn't need the ball as much. Whereas Dame wants the ball and he plays defense. Whereas I think Chris, that's why I don't think the Bucks will win the East. So I don't think those two fit.
That's in the East. Let's do one for the West.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Indiana, that's my team. They're not good, but they're making the playoffs.
Don't do that.
They're not good. No.
Don't do that.
They don't play in defense.
Bro, take out Tyrese. I don't know their start. Who else plays for their team?
Miles Turner.
And Siakam.
Miles Turner.
I think Siakam's a good pick.
Miles Turner.
Buddy
cool.
Hield.
Buddy Hield.
But he's a shooter, bro. Role player, bro.
That's what I'm saying. Their team's full
I
of role
feel
players.
Like I make shots when they miss, you know?
The team's not full of role
players.
All right,
players.
They're a good team.
Let me ask you this then. Before the season, but that's what you said, right? Who's not a good team, but if I was to write that team down before the season started, would you have them in making the playoffs?
Yes.
Really?
I would have found the bottom of it.
I would have had them
10th at best.
I would have had them 8th.
I was caping for Indiana last year. Halliburton's been my boy.
No.
So, last year, I was saying that the Kings are going through the playoffs, but then they let me down like game 7. It's cool.
Right, we've got a... Harry asked a lot of questions. He's got no followers.
Hey, Harry, you got 5 minutes to get these questions off.
So, let me actually think which one is actually decent.
Harry, you asking shit questions?
Hey, good question to close on. How do you think the All-Star should be decided? Is it by numbers? If so, Trae Young should have made it. Is it by standing? Then how come the Lakers have 2 All-Stars? Sabonis is having a better year than Kat. Blah, 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 blah. Yet no All-Star. So how, in the essence is, how do you guys think the All-Stars should be decided?
Do you know what it is? You're never going to get it right, man.
No.
Every year there's a snub. I think if there's a ranking of like, selection criteria, I think the first one should always be individual stats.
Okay,
of course, always.
Your stats have to be all-star level.
Yeah. Okay.
I think winning second. Then I think after that, it becomes a bit tricky because, again, if your team's winning, your stats are good. For example, like someone like... Yeah, after that, it just... After then, I think... Okay, yeah, it's tough after that. Man.
So I'll go. I think it depends on what you, the problem with the All-Star selection, right, is that there's things that in there like contractual stuff which can make you money because it's an achievement, right? And it's always been an achievement, but I think where now it's become more of a prize day. It's a fun weekend to watch some real cool stuff happen. The 3-point contest is probably the most competitive thing that we like to watch. I don't care about the dunk contest anymore.
I don't watch it.
Like, but with the All-Star selections, because there's contractual benefits from it, like getting 40 million and stuff like that, you have to go based on how good they're playing. But then if it's about what I would like to see, I go based on talent and what you bring to the game. I want to see Kyrie. I want to see Zach LaVine if his foot was not getting it's a surgery.
Achievement. We're not like, getting these balls.
I know, but I want to see All-Star level stuff because beforehand our All-Stars were your Blake Griffins that could get an alley-oop and do a windmill dunk whilst posterizing someone. I want to see that kind of stuff. Jokic, I love you, but you are boring in All-Star games for a reason.
He's still an All-Star, though. Yeah. It's a balance. Yeah. It's a fine line between entertainment. But
that's where the question is, I don't know.
The best players are entertaining, so that goes hand in hand regardless.
But typically, like, what are you calling entertaining now? Because the game's changed so much. There's most of our best players aren't as athletic as your older days where they could bring that entertainment of fantastic dunks and great fast breaks. You got to remember that in an All-Star game, you could have gone from LeBron to D-Wade to Melo to Blake Griffin to DeAndre. DeAndre Jordan, Lord have mercy. To D Rose, all these exciting kind of players. If you had your prime Westbrooks, your James Harden's doing and one basketball over there in that corner, that's the kind of stuff we want to see. But in the game now, like as much as I love him, SGA is not that kind of player.
Nah, like, he's gonna try cook.
He's gonna try cook, but I don't know what the cook looks like.
He's gonna bring beautiful basketball back.
See, that's nice, but that's not what Kyrie's offering you. If Kyrie's cooking and SGA's cooking, it's two different chefs in the kitchen.
They're both chefs, though.
One's
a two-star Michelin chef, one's a one-star Michelin chef,
and it's like
they're both chefs.
That's where what do you want in the All-Star game? You know what I'm saying?
Entertainers. You want entertainers.
So if it's entertainer stuff, I gotta go based on some of the talent that you have as well.
The best players normally are the entertainers. So like I said, it goes hand in hand. It's only very rarely that the best players aren't there. Like
the best player in the league is not an entertainer.
And also, I feel like, I think Jokic only played like 10 minutes last year. He's not going
to
play. He's not trying to be there.
Because
like,
it's extra.
Yeah.
So he's not an entertainer.
He used to be competitive back in the...
Because the players were entertaining to play. Like the good players were entertaining to watch. The game's changed now where it's not like that.
Do you guys like that it's gone back to East and West? Or do you prefer the...
East and West, man.
East and West. That's how it should be. Enemy.
Heritage.
Yeah, but with that is another episode of Courtside Fracas. Chuck, we appreciate you for coming through, my guy.
Hey, thanks for having me, man.
Make
nice
appearances if you want,
perspective, of course. Been really good to get into that. Of course, Jordan, we appreciate you every week.
Thank you.
Hey, we still ain't found her a team.
We'll get into that next week.
And Mavericks, also, man. It's my birthday next week, and if you guys don't sing me happy birthday at the beginning of next week's pods, I'm quitting.
You're not getting paid. This is volunteering. So you don't quit volunteering, bro.
So with that, let me just, of course, my last one today, my last of course, because they told me I've been saying it a bit too much. Plug the socials. Again, firstly, Spotify. Like I said, send in your reviews of the pod. If they're not good, I didn't even see it. If they are, of course, we love seeing them too. Get them in. Of course, the same on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate our listeners. That was another, of course.
There was two in there.
There was two in there. There was two in there. And finally, our social media platforms, at Courtside Fracas on Instagram, at Courtside Fracas on the TikTok. Keep engaging with the page. We love all the entertainment. At Courtside Fracas on the TikTok, we'll be sending more clips from today and past episodes. And lastly, some lessons as well with that. I had to save myself from that one. And finally, Courtside Fracas on the YouTube. Get some visuals of the listeners' questions. And obviously see our wonderful faces breaking down some basketball news.
The YouTube has been slow because of me. It's a work in progress. I'll get it there.
But the TikTok is popping over there.
Hey, them comments are cold.
It's popping over there. Yeah. Not all of them, though. We see you. And I've got no decorum, so please, let's have some respect.
We noticed.
But with that, peace. Appreciate all the listeners. And we'll see you next week.
Love.
See ya. Peace. Sports Social Podcast Network.